I know you're all used to looking at somebody that's a little taller, but, you know, good things come in small packages. It's an honor and a privilege to be up here tonight. I was practically born with a mic in my hands, but yet I feel like my knees are jelly. So tonight we're going to look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 9 to 22. I didn't give them verses, so I don't think we'll have them up if you want to look in the Bible. Genesis 6, verse 9 through 22. The New International Version says, "This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, 'I'm going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. You and your sons and your wives and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for them and for you and for them.'" Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Amen. This is the account. Let me warn you, I haven't done this up here, bring a sermon or a teaching in over 2 years, because I went through a transition where I was brought up in a church. My father's a pastor, and God just moved me from there and brought me here. And in that transition, I was basically healing and recuperating here with you guys. So I'm a little nervous, even though I shouldn't be. So this is the account of Noah and his family. The story of Noah and the flood is one of the best known stories of the Bible. God tells Noah to build an ark and fill it with every species on earth. Then when the ark is full, a flood inundates the earth. Only Noah and those on the ark survive. We all know this story, right? We've all heard it. Well, this week, as I prayed about what to speak to you tonight, the Holy Spirit kept reliving this story in my head, or reminding me of this story in my heart. All week, it just kept coming up. So I'm going to share the lessons that I've learned from it this week. Let me tell you a little bit about me. As most of you guys know, I was born into the church to a father who was a Pentecostal pastor at Missionary Church of Christ. So I grew up learning all about these stories, including Noah and the Ark. I think I must have heard it 100 times by 100 people in 100 different ways. I learned about Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. I learned about Abraham and Isaac. I learned about Jacob and the 12 tribes. I learned about Joseph and Enoch and about Moses in Exodus. There's a lot of interesting things in the Bible, and after all those years of hearing them, I thought I knew them all. So you see, it wasn't until many years later that I actually started reading the Bible, the Word of God, for myself. Until then, I just knew what I was taught or what I was hearing during Sunday school or in sermons. One day in my late 20s, yes, I said it, in my 20s, I decided I wanted to learn more about God myself. While I was grateful for the upbringing, but I didn't know the God that I was obligated to serve. And you know what was one of the things that I found out? That I found out that most of the stories that I grew up on were found in the book of Genesis and Exodus, the first and second book in the Bible. In all those years, all those stories, I hadn't even made it past the first two books. So if all that is in the first and second book, then what's in the rest of the Bible? Well, let me tell you, a lot. We have a God that pursues us endlessly, but do we pursue him? Do we know him? Do we know his word? I didn't. Even as a pastor's daughter, I was clueless as to God, as to who God was and how he fit in my life, into my life. It wasn't until I really got into the word that I understood his love for me. So tonight I'm going to take you back to Genesis, one of my favorite books. I do know it very well, after all. You see, they aren't just kids' books. They aren't just kids' stories. There are many lessons to be learned from this book, and tonight I would like to discuss a little bit about Noah. How would each of you react if one day God told you that he was going to destroy the earth and the people on it, and that you were the one who would ensure his creation lived on? Well, you probably would be really shocked. Noah faced this exact situation and dealt with all the emotions, physical trials, and hurtful words and actions that went along with it. Sometimes what God asks us to do isn't easy, which is why Noah's story has some profound lessons for us even today. Lesson number one. Noah found grace in the eyes of God, in the eyes of the Lord. The word grace appears for the first time in the Bible in this verse. Noah lived in the midst of the most evil society the world has seen at that time. But because he found grace, God favored him with personal instructions about the coming catastrophic judgment and the details for a new beginning on earth. The language of Genesis 6:8 gives us an insight into Noah's character. Found is a simple active verb, not a passive one. Thus, Noah found favor or grace in God's eyes because he was actively looking for it. God could have used the passive verb in reference to Noah, but he did not. Evidently, God intended for us to know this key factor. Noah was a righteous man. In spite of the horrible conditions of the world of this day, he was looking for God's directions and for the answers. Noah wasn't merely hanging around waiting for the destruction that he sensed would come as a result of awful rebellion that had surrounded him. Noah was anticipating a response from God. And when God finally did give him instructions, Noah found the favor he sought. This sounds so familiar. Noah was living in a horrible time. And as I see it, the time we're living now isn't that much better. Like Noah, we shouldn't sit around waiting for things to come to pass, but actively looking for God's favor and instructions. Lesson number two. It doesn't matter what others think. No matter what we try to tell ourselves, a part of each of us wants to be accepted. We want to relate to others and live like others. We want to feel normal. Noah lived in a time of great corruption and sin, and he never gave into it. He was seen as different by other people, but also by God. It was his unwillingness to live in a way that others lived that set him apart and allowed God to choose Noah for this great task. It didn't matter what the other people thought of Noah. It mattered what God thought of Noah. Had Noah given in and acted like everyone else, he would have perished in the flood along with everyone else. Instead, he ensured humanity and a lot of creatures survived because he overcame those temptations. Lesson three, be faithful to God. Noah set himself apart by being faithful to God and not giving in to sin. The task of building an ark that could house a wide variety of animals Noah had to save was not going to be easy. God needed someone who was faithful enough to get through the hard times when things weren't necessarily clear. He needed someone who could listen to his voice and follow his direction. Being faithful to God allowed Noah to fulfill his promise. Lesson number 3. Trust in God to guide you. It's not like God said, Noah, just build an ark, okay? God gave Noah pretty specific directions. He had to. In our lives, God gives us directions too. We have Bibles, we have pastors, we have parents, we have mentors, we have leaders, and more that all speak to us about our faith and decisions. God provided Noah with everything he needed to build the ark, from the wood to the animals he was saving. God will provide for us too. He will give us everything we need to fulfill our purpose in him. Lesson number 4. Take your strength from God. We all have doubts we face when we're living our lives for God. It's normal. Sometimes people try to talk us out of doing what we're doing for God. Sometimes things get really rough, and then we seem to run out of willpower. Noah had those times too. He was human, but he persevered and he remained focused on God and God's plans. His family made it safely, and God rewarded them with a rainbow and with a new world. God was the one that provided Noah with strength to overcome all his critics and all the difficulties. God can do the same for us too. Lesson number 5. None of us are immune to sin. No one is immune to sin. Too often we look only at Noah, at what Noah did with the ark, and we forget that he was also a man who made mistakes. When Noah finally made it to land, he ultimately celebrated a little too much and ended up sinning. Even the best of us sin. Will God forgive us? Yes. God is very forgiving and provides us with a great deal of grace. However, we need to remember that we can easily fall prey to sin. So it's important to stay as strong and as faithful as possible. Am I telling you that your walk with God has to be perfect? No. I'm simply reminding you tonight to actively look for grace in the eyes of God through Jesus. And to look around you. There's so much going on around us today in this world. Are we just sitting around waiting for destruction? Or are we listening for instructions from God? Are we actively searching and learning and sharing the gospel to save others, not only ourselves, but others and who are wandering in this lost world that we're living in? Let me tell you, when I walked into this church, into Emmanuel, 1 year and 5 months ago, I came here very broken and very hurt. I was ready to give up on God, but it was the open arms and welcome that I received at Emmanuel that helped me hold on tighter to God instead. I found grace. This church and the smiles I received was the light in the middle of my darkness. Let's never lose that. Let's continue to be the light to each other and this community we live in. Will there be difficult times? Yes. Will there be disagreements? Yes, it happens. But never forget that we are all here for the same reason, to worship our Lord and Savior. Please stand. I'm not a talker. This is going to be short and sweet. I'm going to say a prayer. Dear Father, thank you for this opportunity you've given me today to speak to your people. I ask that you continue to guide us, each of us. May we learn from your word. May we be encouraged by each other. May we be actively seeking for your favor, no matter what others think. May we be faithful and trust in you, Father. May we take our strength in you, Lord. Let us actively be a light in the middle of this dark world, even if just in our community or in each other's lives, for your glory. in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have a good night. I don't think we have anything else. Is it early? That's all I have for you. I hope you were blessed. God bless you and have a good night.